Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I don't know what your favorite holiday is every year, but I would have to say pretty definitively minus Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving in our culture tends to involve travel, tends to involve family, and tends to involve a lot of food. I don't know if you have that same experience or understanding of Thanksgiving, but as I said, it's my favorite holiday by far. Now, for the Jewish community, especially in the first century, Passover functioned a lot like our Thanksgiving does. You had a requirement, actually, in the law that all Jewish men who were able come to Jerusalem for the Passover. There were three festivals every year that Jewish men were required to come to. Passover was one of them. There was a lot of action and activity around the city, so it was exciting and interesting time to be there in Jerusalem. And finally, the center of Passover was a meal, a good meal, a full meal, but a meal full of rich symbolism, very meaningful meal. But you could imagine that this Passover that Jesus and his disciples were observing as we enter into Maundy Thursday, there was something different about this Passover. Something was hanging over this Passover that may not have been there in previous experiences. And so as we reflect tonight on the last meal that Jesus shared with his disciples, I'd like to focus on the foot washing and offer a reflection on the foot washing. Now, Jesus, of course, is gathered at the table with his followers. And in the middle of the meal, Jesus gets up. He wraps a towel around his waist and walks around the table, washing the disciples' feet. In the ancient Near East, in some places even today in the Near East, the meals were eaten essentially lying down or reclining. You would prop yourself up on your elbow and access your food with a free hand. And that's no doubt how it was at this Last Supper. And so Jesus would walk around the circle or the table and he began to wash the disciples' feet. And we can always count on Peter for a great line that makes us think. And Peter was asking Jesus directly, "Are you really going to wash my feet? Is this some kind of a joke, in other words?" And Jesus says, "You don't understand what I'm doing, but you will." And Peter says, "Okay, I'll take that as a yes." Jesus doesn't answer questions directly very often, but I'll take that as a yes, and my answer is no. You will not wash my feet. Now, we may look at that and say, well, that's just Peter being Peter. That's who he is. That's how he functions. But if you understand Jesus' action in its context, you see that Peter's response actually makes a lot of sense. You see, most households in ancient Palestine had a bowl of water at the front door. People wore sandals back in those days, much like we do in the summertime here. And as we know, if you wear sandals in a dusty place, your feet get dirty. And so there was a bowl of water right at the entry of the home. And the expectation was that you would come into the home, take your sandals off, wash your feet so you could bring clean feet into the house. Now, it was really, really uncommon for anybody to wash someone else's feet. That was usually somebody's task. They took it on for themselves. It wasn't unheard of for slaves to wash their master's feet, but according to Jewish law at the time, it was illegal for someone to compel or force their slave to wash their feet. This is how menial and how degrading this task was understood at the time. And so when Jesus, their rabbi, but the one that they believed may be the Messiah, began to go around and wash their feet, this was scandalous. This was unthinkable. And so, of course, Peter would react how he did. It's perfectly understandable and natural. But Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Listen, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no share with me." Interestingly enough, that word that is translated share in our text is a Greek word meros, and that word meros is used to translate a Hebrew word that is most often used for inheritance, specifically the inheritance of the 12 tribes of Israel in the land. You remember in the Old Testament when God was laying out the land, God said, look, all of you tribes except for Levi can have a share of the land, a piece of the land for your own. This is part of my promise to you as my people. And so when Jesus uses this word to Peter, that suddenly makes him think, oh my goodness, he's using really powerful and important words about God's promise to God's people. I better jump on to this. And again, Peter, as he often does, overreacts and says, well, if washing my feet gets me a share, then maybe my head and my hands will get me a little bit more. So bring it on, Jesus. And then, of course, Jesus says, Peter, you still don't understand what I'm doing, but you will. And this interaction between Peter and Jesus makes me think of a couple of other instances in the Gospels. Jesus, of course, here is laying out this pattern for his followers of what it means to be one of his disciples, especially the disciples who will have leadership positions, authority positions in the church. He is saying, look, when I die and am resurrected and ascended, I'm going to give authority to you all to lead my people to be catalysts for the kingdom in the world. There's going to be power, there's going to be authority, and therefore there are going to be temptations. Let me show you how to do this. And Jesus goes and does it. He demonstrates to his followers what it means to lead, and what it means to lead is to serve and to give. Which again reminds me of Jesus' dialogue with his disciples after the disciples were asking themselves, who's the greatest? Who's the greatest among us? And Jesus says, that's a really fascinating conversation you all are having. Let me give you an indirect answer, because that's usually what I do. And he calls a child, and he says, whoever wants to be great needs to become like this child. In fact, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So that last phrase is significant. Because Jesus wasn't, in this statement, just laying down a leadership principle, although it's an effective leadership principle. He was telling his disciples that what he was going to do had ultimate and eternal significance. He was going to give his life as a ransom for many. And so when Jesus looks at Peter and says, I need to wash your feet because if I don't wash your feet, you have no inheritance with me. In other words, you will not be a recipient of the promises of God to God's people. Jesus suddenly is not talking about foot washing anymore. He's talking about something much deeper. And the foot washing then, in very real ways, becomes a sacrament. The word sacrament is often defined as an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. And so Jesus gives the outward and visible sign, I'm washing your feet. The inward and spiritual grace, of course, is cleansing, is participation with Jesus in the promise of God to God's people. Jesus says, you don't understand this now, Peter, but you will. And when will Peter understand what Jesus is doing? Well, of course, he'll understand after Jesus has been crucified and resurrected. When Jesus tied a towel around his waist, when he acted beneath even the lot of a slave to serve and to love and to bless his disciples, he was telling them, this is what I'm about to do for you. Please receive it. In fact, Paul picks up on this in Philippians chapter 2 when he shares what most scholars believe to be an ancient Christian hymn or confession. When Paul writes that Jesus, even though being in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped or seized, but instead he took the form of a slave. What happened when he took the form of a slave? Well, he submitted himself to death, even to death on a cross. And as Peter and his subsequent followers begin to grasp what Jesus did for them on the cross, grasp the power of the cross, grasp the power of the resurrection, we begin to see that the foot washing wasn't just about our feet, but the foot washing was Jesus laying out what he was about to do for the disciples, taking the form of a servant, offering himself to death, even death on a cross, the shameful, humiliating death on the cross. So Jesus says, Peter, unless you let me wash your feet, you have no share with me. You have no inheritance with me. And so now we understand what Jesus meant, although Peter didn't know it at the time. And so in just a minute, we're going to participate in foot washing. And for many of us, this is part of the liturgical year. We do this every year. We get our feet washed. Now, it's a little bit awkward, and I know some people don't like to come up and get their feet washed. But what I'd encourage us to do is understand and recover the radical scandal of foot washing. Recover the unthinkability of Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. And hear his voice say to each one of us, unless I wash your feet, you have no share with me. You have no inheritance with me. In other words, if you want to participate in the promises that God made to his people, Jesus says, you need to let me wash your feet. Now, getting your foot washed takes vulnerability. In other words, you have to admit that you need your feet washed. And that's not easy, to admit that we're dirty. And it's especially not easy to show someone our dirt. But if Jesus had come to Peter and said, I'm going to wash your feet, and Peter said, I don't need my feet washed. My feet are just fine, thank you very much. Please get away from my feet. I don't want you to see them. That would have been one thing. But I wonder sometimes if we do that. Jesus comes and says, I need to wash your feet. And we say, no, I don't think so. I'm okay. I don't need any feet washed. I'm good. I don't really have any dirt. But maybe for others of us, we have a hard time taking off our shoes and socks. We know that our feet are dirty. We know that we have problems. We know that we have struggles. We know that we have serious issues that keep us from the life that God has for us. But taking off the shoe and taking off the sock and allowing Jesus to wash it is sometimes hard because we don't want to let it out. We don't want others to see. We don't want God to see because we may expose ourselves as people who are dirty. And so letting Jesus wash our feet takes vulnerability. It takes humility. And so tonight, as we do this, I want you to receive the foot washing for what it was meant to be, as a sacrament, an outward and visible sign of the inward and spiritual grace. Come humbly, knowing that you need your feet washed, but come confidently, knowing that the one who is washing your feet is the one who loves you, as our text said tonight. He loved his disciples even to the end. This is the one who is asking to wash your feet. Because this is the one who's going to offer himself scandalously, unthinkably, for our sins on the cross. And so it turns out then that Peter's response to Jesus, you'll never wash my feet. It's so scandalous, it's so unthinkable that you, our rabbi, maybe the Messiah, would wash my feet. It turns out that Peter was right, that this was scandalous and even unthinkable. But maybe he didn't quite grasp how scandalous and how unthinkable it really was. It was scandalous and unthinkable for a rabbi to wash the feet of his disciples, but it's even more scandalous for the perfect, spotless Son of God to be killed so that people like us could live. And so it's more scandalous, more unthinkable, but even more wonderful and even more beautiful than any of us could ever imagine. And so, as I and Julian wash your feet tonight, it's a good reminder for me what it means to be a Christian leader. It should be a good reminder for all of us what it means to love one another. But more than that, for all of us, it's a reminder of our need for God. And it's a reminder of God's passionate love for us, even when we don't deserve it. It's a reminder that as we take off our shoes and as we take off our socks, that Jesus not only can wash, cleanse, heal, restore, but he's really, really interested in doing that. This is something that he wants to do. Scandalous? Yes. Unthinkable? Yes. But wonderful and beautiful. And that's what we're invited to now. Amen.